Hey guys, welcome to the Faith and Field podcast. I'm the host, Grant Benson. If you haven't already, check out episode 0 to hear my story. The mission of the Faith and Field podcast is to give all athletes a platform to share their testimonies and experiences of what God has done in their life. My hope is that God will reach athletes who need to hear these stories in order to strengthen their faith and enable their athletic journeys. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at faith_N_field. We're active on Instagram, so give us a DM, let us know what you think, or even a prayer request. I pray that this podcast will be a good representation of Christ. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Hey all, thank you for listening to the Faith and Field podcast. This is episode 10. I had a great conversation with Jessica Beard. Jessica Beard is a professional sprinter who specializes in the 400 meter. She has been on the USA 4x400 relay teams that have won gold medals at the World Championships, most recently in Doha. She's also blessed to be on the first ever mixed 4x400 relay team that set the world record in the prelims. Listen to her awesome journey as she was a Christian who grew up rules-based with the idea that if you live right, God will bless you. Hear her explain after a setback in 2012 helped her make the biggest growth in her faith. If you want to follow her journey and give her support on Instagram, follow her at Reign2. That's at REIGN2. Please enjoy episode 10. Thank you for listening and God bless. All right, guys. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Faith and Field podcast. Today, I'm so blessed to have on Jessica Beard. Future hopeful, Olympic hopeful for 2021, but also has some experience running in the world stage at the World Championships, part of the mixed 4x4 relay team, as well as the women's 4x4 meter relay team as well. So Jessica, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time out of your day to be a part of my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm really blessed to be here and just have this opportunity to talk about my faith and sport. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I was also kind of blessed and fanboyed when I had on Michelle Carter, and then when I had on Maggie Malone, and they both had dropped your name to have you come on. So I'm really excited and blessed to have you.
Yes, those women are amazing, you know, not just as athletes in, you know, the sport of track and field, but, you know, as women of faith. And I'm really humbled that they would, you know, drop my name and, you know, bring me into their world a little bit, I feel like, you know. So they're an inspiration for sure, what Maggie did at Texas A&M and what Michelle did and what she's continued to do. It's amazing. So
yeah, that's so cool. And I'm excited to kind of get to know you more and hear your story. And so you know, that being said, like, maybe just walk us through a little bit of, like, kind of your growing up. Like, was track and field like your main sport? Like, what were you involved in, like, growing up? And maybe talk about your journey on how you got involved with track.
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, originally. In the 9th grade, I moved to Euclid, Ohio, and that's when I started to run track. So never knew about track, really. I was a basketball player. I always tell people, like, I loved Diana Taurasi, and I was like, I'm going to UConn. Like, ball is life. There is nothing better than this. And on the basketball team, we had the state runner-up named Heather, who, you know, I had to guard her as a freshman. She was a senior, and because she was so fast, and, you know, they used to just lob her the ball, and I was able to keep up with her. And they were like, maybe you should come out for track. And I was like, what's that? You know, I used to think cross-country meant you ran around the world. Like, I really knew nothing about track. And so I was like, I don't know. And they're like, it's going to help with basketball. I was like, oh, anything for that. So I'm grateful that my basketball coaches, you know, saw something and said, you know, why don't you try this? And so long story short, I came out for the track team, wasn't a fan. I'm like, why do y'all do this? Like, this is not fun. And like, what's the purpose and the goal here? Because I feel pain. Like, yeah. I feel pain, and I'm not a fan, but I was a competitor. So I loved, you know, to compete and to win. And, you know, I'm a big team person. So I was like, oh, anything for the team. And so, yeah, I found myself on the track team that way. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's just so simple as, you know, coaches seeing something in different athletes that will spark a little something of like, hey, you should try this out. But also on the same side of it too, to kind of give you a little props, the fact that you were willing to just give it a try and give it a go.
Yeah.
To do that. Cause if you would have said no in that moment, I mean, maybe you're balling it up in the WNBA right now, but you know, I mean, you are accomplishing things I'm probably sure that you haven't thought you would do. But I mean, just the fact that, you know, a coach on a different level, like a different sport, just saw something in you to kind of encourage you. And then the fact that you even had the courage to even try something new that you've never done before, that's pretty awesome.
It was hard. It was definitely hard. I mean, I didn't give up basketball until my junior year. So I was like, I'll do outdoor track, but not indoor. And, you know, I had to make that decision. And there were people who told me, you know, this is the biggest mistake in your life that you're making, that you're not coming out for the basketball team, you know. But I think by that time, it's like, you know, I really need to commit in one area. Like, you know, doing multiple sports benefited me. I did cross country, God bless, because the 5K was especially not my thing. But, you know, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned a lot in cross country. So I think, you know, being multi-sport, it definitely benefited me. You know, I saw different dynamics with cross country and basketball and track. And then by my junior year, I made a decision to really just stick to track and invest fully in that. And so it paid off for sure. So
that's awesome. So kind of sticking like within your childhood, and, you know, you made that, yeah. You know, you're living in Cleveland. Where was your faith? Like, was your faith instilled at a young age at this point? Or are you kind of like running, you know, without the Lord? Like, I remember, like for me, like I wasn't a Christian. I was kind of raised Catholic, but I would go to church as an obligation so I wouldn't get into arguments with my mom. And so that was kind of the reason why, like, I, you know, attended church, but it didn't become my own faith until I got into college. But what was it like for you? Like, how was your upbringing? For you?
Well, a lot of what I learned about Jesus was in middle school. You know, first through eighth grade, I went to a Catholic school. And so to me, you know, Jesus was before, you know, a prayer before my meals. We had a chapel inside my church where, you know, it was all Sister Marine, Sister Mary Kay, Sister Michelle. Mm-hmm. You know, we have chapel time, but I don't feel like I really, you know, identified with it. To me, it was like, this is just a part of, you know, this environment. Right. So, like I said, Jesus would introduce that at meals, you know, God is good, God is great, but like that kind of thing. But, you know, also in high school, I met one of my best friends, and her dad was a bishop. Mm-hmm. And so, and, you know, of course, full-time, you know, because sometimes pastors aren't full-time, but full-time. And so, you know, I was in church Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. And through their relationship and, you know, their walk of faith, I really, really got, you know, had questions and got involved with church. I asked them so many questions, and they used to say, Jessica, some things only God knows. Like, we don't have the questions. I'm like, well, so what happens if this happens? And what happens? And so, you know, coming to this new school and not only introduced me to the track, but it really did help build upon, you know, a faith foundation. And, you know, I was baptized a couple years later, and never really like served in the ministry, unless serving donuts after Sunday school counts. If that counts, then that was my ministry in the kitchen in the church. We served the donuts because people were hungry. But other than that, I was grateful to be, you know, introduced to her family, because they did things in godly, you know, manner and way. And I just was like, wow, you know, not only living, you know, a life that you know, or preaching about a life about God, but then living it and showing me like, this is like, my friends were cool. You know, it wasn't a thing like, oh, like if you love Jesus, that's not cool. It was always just like, all this stuff is cool. Like all this stuff, I'm very much interested in how Jesus loves us, you know, even though we're not perfect. And I really, you know, built upon my faith by having that relationship. They always say I was always late. They were like, somebody would come to get me and they were like, all right, we gave you 5 minutes. We have to go. Somebody, you know, then my friend's brother would come and get me. And that's what they said. You breaking world records now, but you was late every Sunday. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm not late anymore. So, you know, they really helped build upon that foundation. So I'm grateful for that.
That's great. I mean, it's just so awesome that people in the community will reach out and like share their faith, and it just takes like just another act of just, you know, asking someone to come to church or just doing that. And then obviously just your vulnerability to be able to say yes and accept that invitation just to go, you know, and just so thankful that, you know, that's how the Lord works. He gives us opportunities to do that. And, you know, we just have to accept those things. And it's awesome that that's part of your story and that's how, you know, your journey has, you know, has happened. And, obviously, you know, looking back on things that you maybe have happened, you know, you're like, oh man, that was the Lord's hand on that. And that's really cool to be able to do that.
Yeah. It was awesome. Like I said, they really built upon, I feel like got to a point. It's like, oh wow, this is, you know, to me, I was just like, okay, like you said, this is me going to church. This is, you know, me just participating. And it went from, you know, participating to like, no, this is a lifestyle. And, you know, this is how we do it, you know, as Christians in the body. So they really helped to kind of put that into perspective where I knew I was going, I knew I enjoyed it, but it went from participant to like, this is just a part of who I am. So
yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, you played basketball, you know, you're balling out, and then junior year, after your junior year, you decide that you're not going to play basketball anymore, and, you know, you focus on track and field. And so, like, were you getting offers at this point? Like, what was kind of like the purpose? Was it just because you love track more than you love basketball? Or was there you getting some offers from colleges that were thinking of having you come down there or wherever that might be to run for them?
Yeah. Basketball was more just kind of local. It wasn't my UConn dream, but, for track, Illinois, a lot of different places, UCLA, that's when, Robert Johnson was the coach there. Really like after my junior years where I feel like I really, and I mean, rules are different now, you know, they got that junior day thing, but back then it was like, you couldn't talk to athletes at all. Like maybe you could send them, you know, a letter or something, but you really could not talk to them. So, going to Outdoor Nationals, I mean, it has so many names now. It's not the same, you know, different sponsors now, but going there, it really helped give me exposure. And I start getting more letters, and I just was like, I'm going to visit these 10 schools. And they were like, Jessica, you can only visit 5 that they'll pay for. I was like, okay. So, you know, narrow things down to 5. And, you know, I was grateful. My dad was like, you need to go somewhere hot because you don't know what heat is. I'm like, we got summer. I know heat. And, you know, I visited 3 schools in Texas, and I was like, I don't really know summer, and I don't really know heat. So, I was starting to get letters, but I think they really, you know, my junior year is when, you know, they really came in. And I won that year. I won junior nationals as well. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I ran 51 anything. And so it kind of was like, you know, building up. So it seemed like, or it did, it was like that sacrifice, you know, was turning into something that went beyond my level of thinking. You know, it was just like, try to just get to college for free. You know, that was the goal. It was never, you know, try to be a, you know, elite athlete. It was just like, if you can go to college for free, then that's where you go. Like, that's what you choose. And so from that being my goal to being like, well, now you can choose where you want to go. Yeah. You know, not only that, but my mom didn't play about school. So I was on the honor roll. I was top 10% of my class. So it helped me, you know, as well. And I always try to bring that in for the athletes. Like, I know, you might feel like school is just, and you care about sports, but it's so much more. It made my life easier. I felt less stressed, you know, like, you know what? I don't have to worry about have to keep taking the test again. And I don't have to worry about, you know, my GPA and whether or not I can get into a certain school. It's like, put yourself in a position to where those things, you know, take care of themselves. So.
Yeah, that's very important. And for those listening, obviously, you know, hopefully they understand the importance of that, just because, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead or anything like that, but, you know, you're currently, you know, working on your master's degree. And so obviously continuing education is important for all of us, because, you know, you're not going to compete for the rest of your life. Like, there's going to be a certain time where, you know, you fall back on something else that you're going to have to do. And that's obviously important. And if you don't establish those roots in the classroom at a young age, it's going to be hard to do it when you're a little bit older to do that.
Yeah.
So you ended up choosing to go to Texas A&M. What was it about Texas A&M that, you know, brought you down to there? Other than, you know, you got to get to the heat, you got to feel that the real summers are like. So what was the draw down to Texas A&M?
I believe it's the authenticity that I, you know, experienced, because I always tell people, like, this is my worst visit, and it was my worst not happen, considerably. I went season. It wasn't basketball season. You know, I missed a lot of those highlight sports. And I enjoyed the fact that my coach, Vince Anderson, said, what you see is what you get here. We're not pulling out any, you know, red carpet for you. Like, this is who I am. And, you know, it kind of surprised me a little bit, because I'm like, well, who else would you be? But then I realized, like, with anything, you know, a lot of times we just put our best foot forward, and, you know, people don't get to see the other foot that's, you know, that's, you know, behind it. And so I really appreciated the fact that my host told me I could be successful wherever I decided to go. So.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, obviously, you know, trying to pick a school that fits, you know, what you want to do, you know, your goals that you have athletically, and then also the goals that you have academically, is so important for that, especially also trying to find a coach that, you know, you can, you know, vibe with as far as the culture and their philosophy is. And, you know, I've had athletes that, you know, go to schools and, you know, they're just excited to get into school, and they get there and they don't realize, like, oh, like, coach is not like this, and they don't actually have the thing I want to study, and they realize they gotta, you know, they gotta transfer out, or, you know, something else. So it's really important to be able to have that. It's cool that you're able to find a coach that you were able to relate to, just by the things that he said and the philosophies that he had.
It's really important, you know, because when I was in school, there wasn't a transfer portal, so you was there. You wanted to leave, you're out at least a year. And so, you know, I wanted to go somewhere. It was hard. My second choice, they had a program history of winning in the event that I ran. So, you know, people are like, you're passing up that school. Like, it's not possible. Like, and they have a lot of Olympic champions, Olympic gold medalists. And it was a little difficult to make a decision to, you know, while I'm really gonna go to a school that, you know, I think the year before my senior year in high school, they had their first national champion in the 400. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's all I need, you know, knowing that it's possible, it can be done. And, you know, we can help, you know, create what we want. It doesn't have to already be set in stone, and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I mean, honestly, like, I had a runner who, you know, was looking at a couple of schools, and he could have easily gone to kind of a well-known smaller running school. But the coach, you know, that I built a relationship with, and he really liked my athlete. And I said, listen, like, Like, why not you? Like, why not you start a culture? Like, why not you, you know, do something different and, you know, be a person who leaves a legacy that changes the program and does, you know, does things that are, you know, different than, you know, what everybody else wants you to do. And so, you know, he ended up going there and, you know, it's amazing how much that culture has changed because of the fact that he went there. And so, yeah, I mean, it's easy for us, you know, just as, you know, men and women to, you know, do the easy or do what's popular and not what's unpopular, you know? So it's good that you were able to, you know, to kind of stand out and do that.
Yeah. Tough. It was tough. I had a lot of people, you know, that I trusted to help, you know, to give me advice that I could then, you know, make a decision for myself. So yeah, I think it's the same way in our faith. So yeah.
That's true. So walk me through. So, you know, you get on the campus at Texas A&M and you're there. You know, I'm not sure, like, you know, who, if you brought friends with you to come down there with you, but how is your faith journey? Like, how is your faith being tested at this point? You know, walking into a big campus like Texas A&M.
It was pretty difficult in the beginning, maybe the first week or two, because it was just me, you know. You know, now I kind of see, well, I've been inside the stores and, you know, that person's with their parents and they're like, oh, what do you need for this? And what do you need? And it was pretty much me making those decisions for myself, you know, as far as like, what do I, you know, I would call and be like, okay, I'm going to make a list, but I would have to go out and get it. I didn't have a car. I don't think I got my license till I was 19. So I don't even, you know, I just had temporary. So relying on teammates for groceries, I love to eat. So I'm just like, oh, okay, I need to live in a place where the bus route runs. So just kind of learning all those things for myself. Like, wow, this is what autonomy is kind of like. And it's, you know, and trying to find balance as well. So it was pretty, I think that part was difficult. As far as my faith, I met, I call him my spiritual mentor. And I remember going to FCA one night and where they would host FCA was an auditorium that was in the student athlete study hall building. So, you know, it kind of made it, you know, easy. I would go to FCA after my study hall hours. And so just kind of incorporating those things, it's just like, wow, this is awesome. Different speakers, whether they were coaches or staff or other people, I feel like I was able to, you know, expand on my faith even the more now, you know, through FCA and through Sandy. And because of her, I was able to really, really, later on, I would end up traveling with her and listen, you know, and we would, mostly her in the beginning, you know, she would, when I was in college, but she would speak to the athletes and encourage them before their game. So, you know, we're at volleyball games, now we're at basketball games, we're at football games, we're having FCA night where, you know, out in Navasota, we would go out there. So just more and more things that would, you know, help kind of address some of the things that I had. Like I said, I always ask questions. I always, because I'm like, okay, there has to be a right answer and a wrong answer, and kind of just learning like, well, that's not necessarily how God works. Like, you know, and so realizing kind of early that I kind of had a legalistic approach, not, you know, intentionally, but just like, oh my gosh, I got to do it right. And if I don't do it right, then I'll be penalized through, you know, as an athlete relating that to sport. Like if I'm living right, like God's going to bless me. And if something doesn't turn out the way I want it to, then that means that I must have done something wrong. So I'm looking, you know, for like, what sin did you do? And so, you know, and that was my own standard, and I held other people to that same standard. Like, well, you should have loved God a little more, you know, just not really understanding, you know, my faith and God really in his character and how he, you know, works. I feel like sometimes so many, you know, I remember the preaching of like, you know, you're going to hell or you're going to heaven, but not really talking about like, what do I do in between so that, you know, really thinking that I was in, you know, responsible for that decision. Like there's something I have to do to make sure that, you know, I don't go to hell and that I go to heaven, and not really having an understanding that, you know, like grace is a gift and me accepting Christ is, you know, God has already, Christ has already done it. Like, you know, I heard about Christ on the cross, but it's just like, oh my gosh, I have to just keep working hard. And, you know, it, kind of with sport, you know, they tell you when you work hard, you get a reward. And so just kind of applying that to my faith and, you know, not being mature enough or just really, you know, not knowing God as well as I, you know, in, you know, I think about an infant, you know, it talks about when you could just only have milk if you're an infant. And I'm like, man, I want the meat. And so being in a place where I'm even, you know, mature enough to even digest that, you know, getting the meat and then saying like, you know, what, how does this relate to God and who he is and what does he say about me and who, you know, I am in relation to this, his word. And so it was really a interesting process where I just kept learning about God more. And then I feel like God would show me who I am and who he purposed me to be and how that goes beyond, you know, the finite box that I pretty much created. Like, it's either, you know, white or black. And yeah, I don't want to be lukewarm, but like, I can't put God into a box because like God is infinite. And so I think that's something that really, you know, I struggled with through, you know, through college, just like, man, I just, you know, I want to do well. And so I'm going to live right, as opposed to being like, you know, God's looking at, you know, the heart. God is considering the heart. God is, you know, searching the heart. And, you know, when I submit to the Spirit, then God is going to enable me and allow me to be what he designed me to be and created me to be. And I don't have to think that I have to do all these works or, you know, present myself as this, you know, perfect being just because I love him, and knowing that even when I make mistakes, that doesn't mean I don't love him and that he doesn't love me. And so I think that was something that I really tried to, you know, work through with running, with my faith, and both of those things together. And that was a really big thing for me, and an aha moment, especially with injury. You know, I was just like, God, you brought me this far. You know, you bring me to Olympic trials final and I get last. You should have just left me out the final. Like, there was no point in bringing me all this way, you know, for this result. And, you know, I really had a moment where God was like, you know, you say you love me and you do glorify me, but if you never won another race, if you never won another medal, if, you know, you never was on top of a podium or won anything, like, would you still praise me and would you still love me and would you still, you know, proclaim that I'm good? And, you know, initially I'm like, of course, like, don't ask me that. But that was a really like, when I got a chance to sit back and think about it, I was like, never again? Like, if I never win, because, you know, my injury was, I had a partial tear in my Achilles. So, you know, and you hear people say like, oh, from the Achilles, you can come back, but you're not going to be the same, or whatever the case may be. And I was like, man, I really need to be mindful of, you know, my yeses. You know, the Bible says such a yes be yes and your no be no. I'm like, God, no doubt. I'm never like leaving you. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Then I'm like, look at Peter. Like, you know, Peter loved God, but, you know, in that moment, his heart wasn't in the right position, you know, to receive from the Spirit what, you know, God would have wanted from him. It was from a, you know, a place of flesh or a humanness. And so that was really big to me. I got my life verse from it. I always mispronounce it, even though I know it's that. It's like Habakkuk. Yeah, Habakkuk. Okay, so that 3:17-19, and, you know, just paraphrasing, it's like, you know, if your crops fail, if you never get a harvest, really, you know, the olives don't, you know, you don't get any oil, like, if none of these things happen, still, you know, that was really big for me in that moment where I was just asking God why. I was like, still, I will rejoice, you know, in the Lord. And and so to me, I felt like I had, you know, I asked God a lot of things, and he gave me my answer, like, you know, this is what I desire of you. And for me, I always talk about joy in the journey, and that's where that came from. Like, I'm gonna joy even if, you know, my crops are failing, if, you know, my harvest is few or non-existing, you know, I'm still going to joy. And if I can find absolutely nothing to joy in, I'm going to joy in God. Like, even if I feel like there's nothing for me to be happy about around me, you know, or my life is, you know, if I'm in Job's position or whatever the case may be, or Joseph, I'm just like, man, I still have God. And so, you know, that means I still have hope. I still have a future, you know, I still have an expected end. And so that was really, you know, eye-opening to me, and I feel like it allowed me to freely want to, you know, I already expressed my faith in an outward way, but it especially, you know, told me, if you don't have anything else, you have God. And so remember that wherever you journey, wherever you go, and joy in that, because you have God. And God is, you know, he's just not somebody far off. Like, God is this infinite, powerful, you know, loving being in a sense, you know, that goes beyond anything that we can make him. So yeah, so that was my testimony to some degree with, you know, dealing with that, especially as an athlete, you know, so much of my identity being in my sport, and taking that out and realizing, like, my identity is in Christ, and, you know, God gave me this gift, and I don't want the gift more than the gift giver. You know, I want the gift giver, and, you know, I want to be a good steward of this gift and use it in a way to glorify him. But, you know, if I can't use this particular gift of sport, God's giving me other gifts, and not to be so confined to, like, oh, this is the only gift I have, God. And he's like, actually, like, don't play with me like that. Like, there's other gifts I've given you, and to use them for his purpose and to look beyond myself. So
that's so good. I mean, just going back to what you have referenced, the injury that you had at the Olympic trials, was that for the 2016?
That was the 2012. So it's my first year out of school. So, like, 2011 was my best year ever. You know, I won the Bowerman Award. I got to run in the final at the World Championships. My first time winning individual NCAA championship. You know, we won as a team, first ever triple-double. So I went from that mountaintop to 2012, where I'm just like, what is this? Like, how did I get from the mountaintop to me? I'm like, this is a valley, a very low valley that doesn't make sense to me. Like, yeah. God, this doesn't make sense. I just was on a mountaintop. How did I get here? Like, what did I do? Or what happened? Like, are you mad at me about other things? Like, those are the kind of thoughts that come when, you know, for me anyway, that was like, man, I didn't expect to be here. You know, I didn't see myself here. Right. So
yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, like, I'm kind of reminded, as you talk about that, I'm reminded of, like, you know, the miracle that God did, or Jesus did, when he fed the 5,000, right? Mm-hmm. And the disciples were able to, you know, witness that and see, like, what that would be. And I could just imagine the emotions that they had, you know, afterwards when they're picking up the leftover pieces, right? And so they just witnessed this amazing thing. And then God sends them out in this boat, right? And this starts to get a little bit rocky, and the seas are crazy, right? And then all of a sudden the Lord's like, what, you have no faith? Like, like, what happened to the faith that you just had, right? And I just kind of feel like your story just kind of, like, made me just to think and to relate about those type of things. Because in every valley that we have, like, the highs of highs and the things that are going right, it's so easy to just be like, oh, God, you're so good. Like, Jesus, like, you're the king. Like, praise you, Lord, right? And then, yeah, and then having those experiences is in the moment of true, like, okay, like, is it really like how you say it is, you know, how are you? And so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to put words into your mouth or anything like that, but that's just kind of, when you talk about that, that's just kind of the picture that I had of scripture.
Yeah. I think you're right on, in a sense, like, I just was not in a position. To me, I thought faith was one thing, and I feel like in that instance, like, God was showing me, like, faith goes beyond this. Mm. It goes beyond, you know, you winning, or, you know, good things happening to you, or favor. Like, faith goes beyond that. Like, it's not circumstantial. And I think a lot of times I saw this post, and it was like it's not your faith that saves you, but it's your faith on whom you rely. And so, just, you know, going back to that idea that, you know, yes, like, you know, having belief is important, but it's like, what am I believing? Like, am I believing, like, you know, God is is, you know, partial, because he's going to give me good, you know, I don't want to hear it rains on the just and the unjust. I'm just, you know, I just hear like, it's just the unjust. And I think I'm pretty just, God. God's like, okay, let's have another conversation. So I feel like those are the things that God really challenged me about as far as my faith. You know, like, you think faith is this, you know, or these things, like it's, oh, I pray, I do, you know, it's like a checklist. Like, you think faith is that. And what faith really is, you know, in a sense, how you see me. Faith is what, it goes beyond, I feel like, what I thought it was at that time. Like, you know, I'm like, faith is this. Like, this is faith, no doubt. And God's like, bigger. Bigger, you know, I'm bigger than these things. And so it really was, you know, like that. I didn't understand, because like I said, I had a legalistic perspective of God, that, you know, when you do X, Y, you get Z, like that. When you know, A plus B is C, like that's how I saw it. So for God to really show me, like, no, faith is bigger than that, I'm bigger than that, you know, it was necessary. And it really did help me as far as, you know, knowing who I am, who he created me to be, and just really where I am in my relationship with him. Like, this is what I truly want. Like, this is what relationship truly is. It's not this give and take, do and receive, you know, don't do and don't receive. It's bigger than that. And so, you know, you hear people say, like, it's about the relationship. It's like, yeah, but, you know, let's look at the dynamics of your relationship with God, and if, you know, where your heart is in the matter. So
yeah, that's totally true. Yeah, that's, it's hard to be able to you know, think about relationship in that way. You know, a lot of people have that legalistic view of, like, well, I'm a good person and I do good things, so therefore, you know, God's going to bless me. And if I sin, and obviously things aren't going that well, then, like you said, like, I must be, you know, not falling short in areas in my life that he doesn't like that. And so that's why he's punishing me in that way, you know? Yeah. So after 2012, then, in those trials, so how did you, like, what was your bounce back? What was your mind like? Like, I'm sure that was tough to be on the top, you know, 2011, and, you know, win the Bowerman, and then now here you are, like, you know, back to the drawing board. So how does that work for you?
2013 to me was this incredible year of faith, because I feel like I didn't know what the outcome would look like. And I feel like I never did, but at least I felt like, well, I can prepare, you know, and do my best, and that this will be an outcome as far as my career. And so, 2013, I felt like, well, for one, I had to learn the difference between being hurt and feeling pain, because I thought that they were the same things. And my coach was like, does it hurt? Or are you in, you know, is it lactic, or is it, you know, are you actually feeling your Achilles? Cause I realized it made me super sensitive to everything. So I just, like, I feel something, I can't do it. I feel like, you know, I question a lot of things. And I didn't really know, you know, wow, especially after my experience, like, would I get back to a place, you know, that I was? And, you know, I didn't have the answer. And I feel like I just had to kind of navigate that. So that year, I got fifth at USA's. So I made the relay pool. They normally take top six. So I was like, oh, not too bad for my returning year. My time was pretty decent. It was like 51 flattish, like 51.09 or something. So I was like, the time is good. Making that team, I spent a lot of time in Europe that year. And I actually spent a lot of time with God. I watched a lot of Joyce Meyer's ministries. I took a lot of notes. I remember once Joyce Meyer was like, if you have to choose between listening and watching me or being in your word, she's like, you better turn me off. And so then that, right, you know, for me, because I was so uncertain, I feel like the only thing that I had that I was sure of was God. So I had to just continue to cling to him and his word. And so That year, I actually led a, I was, and I don't know if I've done it since or if we've had one kind of, but I was asked to lead a Bible. It was like a chapel, but it wasn't. And it was for the athletes. And in that chapel, I remember, you know, trying to create different things for it as far as like questions. I just felt God saying, like, write down these questions. And sometimes I wrote them down twice. And, you know, it was one of the questions, like, you know, is there ever a point in time where you felt like giving up on your faith, and why? And I mean, oh my gosh, like, some of the people that were there are, you know, Olympic champions to me, like, because, you know, I'm still fresh. So to me, I'm just like, wow, they're sharing their story. You know, they're talking about things that not only that I relate to, but that other athletes are dealing with and they relate to. And, you know, to hear one of them say, like, I feel like, you know, my aunt was a good person and she had, you know, cancer, and I realized all the money that I had couldn't save her, and it didn't, you know, it didn't change basically like God's plan. And how her aunt, you know, really spoke highly of God even in her suffering. And, you know, someone else saying how they thought they were going to be an elite athlete because they did all the right things as far as training and things like that. And, you know, he felt like God told him, like, you know, I'm going to put you in a position to be on the elite level. And then what that really meant was, you know, he was going to pace some of these elite women that would go on to win gold medals, but he didn't think that God meant it like that. He thought God meant for himself, you know? And so, that year, I feel like God really, you know, showed me those things. Even though I got fifth, I got to run the final. I mean, I was the only one throwing up. People were like, why are you throwing up after the prelims? And I found out I had ran like 49.8. And so some of the other women had rallied and wanted me to run the finals. And then that's the year Allison got hurt in the 200. So, you know, they were like, they wanted me on it, but it was like, you have to, you know, not that I had to, but they chose me out of a couple of the other alternates. And it just was like, wow. And not only that, they put me on first leg. And I was like, first leg, like, talk about the pressure being on. But then I realized all year, the following, well, you know, the previous meets, I either was put in pressure situations where I was made the anchor while we were behind, or they made me run first leg. And I just felt like God really spoke to me in that season, and he really prepared me for that season. Like, I was questioning, like, how will I know? And now that I'm able to look back on it, I'm like, he prepared me through those meets. He prepared me by, you know, really having me cling to him, that I was able to be, you know, of service to other athletes, and we were able to commune, you know, in fellowship in that way. And so that season, I just was, you know, it wasn't what I thought it would be, but it turned out to be more than, you know, what my expectations were. And so, yeah, that was pretty much that season, which was, like I said, total surprise to me as far as, because it's like, you got fifth, you might run the prelim, you might, you don't know, you know, you're still new. I don't know a lot of people on the circuit. And yet, like, you know, I got to know people through, you know, their faith. You know, I knew them as great athletes and medalists, but now it's like, wow, you know, you're also a person of faith. And how has faith affected you as an athlete? So,
wow, that's so cool. I mean, I just, in my mind, just picture just, you know, these Olympians and upcoming Olympians just hanging out, and, you know, those of faith, and then, you know, just the pressure that might be, you know, just to run at that level and have to turn it on. And I can't imagine, I can't imagine, like, you know, someone trying to lean on something else in that time of pressure, you know. And I'm sure that there is those people out there who aren't believers that, you know, in that pressure moment, to try to lean on something other than God, and what that would look like, and just the mental capacity that would take on just a person to be able to try to figure that out, you know. And I know, because in my realm of, you know, where I'm at as a high school, you know, teacher and a coach, and I'm in those situations where just drawing into Christ and just knowing, like, you know, he has me, I don't necessarily have to prepare for those moments, because I know like being in it, like he's gonna just, you know, I speak at my chapels that I have at the school, and half the time, like, I prepare for it in a way where I'm just, you know, have all these notes written down, and I have like these 6 pages of things written down, and then I get in there, and all of a sudden, like, it's almost like I'm just kind of, not necessarily like in this other realm, but like I finish, and then I'm like, I don't even remember writing that stuff. Like, I don't remember that, because I just know the Lord just kind of takes over, and he speaks through me in that way. So yeah, very, very blessed to be able to do that. I'm sure, like, as an athlete, like, those times where, like, you know, after those Joyce Myers shows and just leading those things, like, you're able to tap in that, which probably, you know, changed just who you are as a, not only as a person and a person of Christ, but also as an athlete.
Yeah, for sure. You're right about that. Sometimes people's like, when you wrote, I was like, I don't remember. Like, I just, like you said, it's like God gives you something and you're like, and you're like, oh, wow, this is not me. You know, this is beyond me. So, you know.
Yeah. So, just kind of walk me through, just, I mean, maybe you can, maybe you answered a little bit, but just as a professional athlete on that level, how do you kind of humble yourself in knowing that, like, cause like, as we talked a little bit before, like, you know, you run a prelim, you may run the final, like, you, like, how are you able to just kind of humble yourself to be able to know, like, okay, like, you know, I may not run the final, but I'm just going to run this prelim. And how are you able, like, to mentally be able to take that and move on and not really hold a grudge and, you know, and all that stuff?
I think it's important just to remember that, you know, it's bigger than you. Like, you know, I think if that could be the mindset, like, even if God uses us, it's still for his glory and still for his purpose. So it goes beyond us. We're just literally this vessel, you know, we're in those glass jars, you know, we have this greatness, but it comes from God. And so I think that that's important to remember, that it's bigger than us. And also that if God gave us this opportunity, then it's our responsibility to use it in a way that God sees fit versus how we want it to be. And, you know, however, you know, it reminds me, I just thought I was running the prelims in 2013. I never, you know, I got fifth, which means somebody got fourth and they were going to be next in line. Like, I never, you know, would have imagined that, you know, God would allow that to happen. Like, that's how I see those things. Like, you know, if God is allowing certain things to happen, then it's, I have to trust, you know, the way that he has designed, you know, the outcome or the situation. And so it's really important to just remember that. Like, you know, I remember when it was really popular, the I am second, you know, you heard that a lot. And I just think that there's a way to, you know, the Bible says it, you know, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And if you exalt yourself, God will humble you. And so I think it's important to know those things. And, you know, the Bible also says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. So it doesn't tell you not to think highly of yourself. I think that God has, you know, we can have confidence in Christ and, you know, be, you know, assured in that, and also in the gifts that he's given us. So the ability to train well, you know, to train at a certain intensity. So to be, you know, confident in those things, but those things aren't our, you know, our complete identity. Like, those aren't the things that's making, you know, that has the ultimate say. So, you know, like someone told me once, like, God's already written it. You just have to go out and give your best effort and execute to the best that you can. And so I think that that's important to remember, like, rejoice in that opportunity. Cause I remember when I had an injury, I was begging to be out there. I wanted to be out there so bad. And I didn't care. I wasn't thinking about lactic acid or, you know, about, oh, I'm only going to get this one chance or the first round. It was just like, wow, the fact that I'm here presented with this opportunity, I'm gonna make the best out of it for God and for the gift that he gave me. I think it's only right, you know. That's the, I feel like it's like the least I could do, you know, with it. Like, why, you know, you think of the man with the, well, the different men with the talents, like, why take the talent and bury it? Like, why do that? Why not invest it in something? And so, you know, God can get a return on it, you know. Yeah, in that story it talked about the master, but to me I'm thinking like God's giving us different talents and he entrusts more you know, to one, and you know, he did what, you know, I guess God saw fit. That's how I would put it. And God gave him even more. And so that's important to me to keep that perspective in mind. That it's not all about me, you know. Right. This is not the Jessica show. This is, you know, we talk about the audience of one all the time, but you know, a lot of times we get lost in whoever is in the crowd. So,
right. Yeah, that's totally true. And, you know, I'm sure that you've seen athletes or teammates that, you know, have, you know, that kind of attitude where it's all about them and all that stuff. And, but it's a good mindset to have, and it's a good way to be an example for others, because when in time, you know, that you don't accomplish the things that you don't do, or you're not given the recognition that other people feel that you deserve, and they see how you act in kindness and with a Christ-like heart, like that's almost a better witness than speaking words, because they see you acting it out more than you are just saying it.
Yes, for sure. You know, we always hear actions speak louder than words, but I think sometimes, you know, we're doing things that we don't even realize people are watching us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're thinking some proactive initiative that we're taking, rather than like people are looking at our lives, like they're looking at how we respond to the everyday, you know, things that are presented to us, you know. So yeah, it's really, really important. I just got a message, and you know, I didn't like our tears like got in my eyes, and like the guy basically talked about, and I'm pretty vocal, you know, about my faith on Instagram. And he talked about how once he saw me with my Bible studying, and I didn't care that I was out in the open, and how, you know, God's been speaking to him just about his own journey, but how that came to mind for him. And to me, I'm like, well, I was just, you know, if I did it in my room, I'd probably go to sleep. Like, you know, that was my thing. And I just wanted to, you know, it wasn't about like, I hope somebody sees me with my Bible taking notes, you know, just like, you know, I'm comfortable here and I don't, you know. And so to hear that, and he said it was like back in 8 years ago or something, I was like, what? Like, I don't, you know, things that I don't remember that I didn't think anything of, like, that's what I think of when, you know, sometimes we hear people say like, people are watching, even if you're not. And I'm just like, wow, like if you think that is a way, he pretty much said how that was more profound to him than like, he loves that I share things, but like that was what he saw. And I was just like, dang, I didn't know what to, you know, I was just like, well, God, I get, you know, because a lot of times you might be like, oh, I don't know how, you know, somebody might think about this. I don't know how somebody, you know, I think it's a big part, like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody, or I don't want to step on any toes. I feel like, you know, you hear that sometimes. And to me, I was just like, look, this is just who I am. Like, this is what I enjoy doing. And I'm not hurting nobody. You know, I'm not hitting nobody over the head with the Bible. I'm not telling nobody, like, if you don't listen, like, I don't think that's my ministry. So, you know, a big part of it is just like being, you know, who God called me to be, doing what God has asked me to do, and like not being afraid of, you know, whatever, you know, people getting offended or people not agreeing, you know, with me or with how I, you know, talk about my faith, because sometimes people don't want to hear it. They, you know, they're like, oh, like, we're sick of hearing about whatever. But I realized, like, it's not about them. It's not about me. It's about, like, you know, if God speaks to me, if God, you know, has designed something, put something on my heart, then, you know, I want to share with people. That's where I came through. And because I always talk about, oh, people always show their highlights. They never, you know, show their failures. Well, I was like, I think we do that same thing in our faith. You know, we don't talk about things that we struggle with. You know, we only talk about God's goodness and how he brought us through, but people don't know what that means. Yeah. And so, God really encouraged me to kind of step out there, because I was like, this is how God deals with me. I know he deals with people differently, but this is how God deals with me, sin, things that I'm struggling with. And I felt that it was important to share that aspect with other athletes, especially because it's like, we go through things too, like, especially, you know, my faith as an athlete. And so that's where Faith Field Friday came from, where I just wanted to be honest with people, you know, if I was going through something, because, you know, I did used to get messages sometimes, oh my gosh, I would, you know, your life seems so perfect. And I'm just like, it's so far from that. And I don't even want to give that impression. That's not a feel good to me, like, because I know that that's not true. So, I think it's so important to be transparent, you know, to a degree that God is the one who is, you know, providing that aspect of your life. And then you can share it with others, and, you know, you don't have to worry about whatever, because you know that it's God inspired or God led. So.
Yeah. Jessica, this has been such a fun conversation. I'm just enjoying, I mean, I love talking Jesus and I love talking track and field, man. I could do that with anybody for, like, all day long. And I appreciate your time, but I want to give you opportunity to kind of share, you know, anything else that you want to, you know, kind of share about. You know, we can talk about what's going on recently. Like, is there anything going on, like your preparation for the, you know, maybe talk about Worlds, or is there anything that, you know, a story from that or anything like that? I don't know.
I think that, I mean, my preparation right now, I'm doing, like, yesterday was literally, I'm starting that preseason prep work on your own. So, like, yesterday was my first day, and I'm like, wow, I'm so sore. I'm just like, I feel like I did stuff, you know, right? And I'm just like, man, we're back here. So, I'm doing that. I'm in grad school, so hopefully, possibly I'll be graduating in the spring. Just trying to, you know, that work-life balance, making sure, I think the biggest thing is, you know, incorporating in Christ in my daily thing. Cause a lot of times I feel like I'm telling people I'm busy. And I'm like, I don't want to be telling God that I'm not that busy. So I think that's really the main things that I'm really just kind of focusing on right now. So I'm really just getting back into my training, and it'll be very interesting. This will be year 10 for me as far as my professional career. And so I've been, you know, considering what does my, you know, I had my 5-year plan, and I feel like next year will be like the 5th year. So it's kind of just seeing, you know, things that I planned. It didn't go exactly how I thought, but, you know, depending on the Olympics, you know, I'm really banking on this one, because I'm not going to, and I love people, like, I'm inspired by them, but I don't want to be one that's, to me, like, after next year, maybe do Oregon, because it's in Oregon, like, the world champs, but I'm really ready to transition over. I don't know if a lot of people know this about me, but, you know, in sports management, getting my degree, I want to be a high school AD. That's been a big thing for me, just trying to help kids at that level. I think he's like, you want to do it on the college level, like, not the high school, but I got a psych degree in undergrad, and what I learned, the high school population is definitely the one I want to help and reach and help them reach new heights. So I guess those are fun facts about me and what I want to do. I'm just right now, I think my main goal is the Olympics. I hope it does happen, because, you know, they said if it cannot, then it's not going to be another year postponement. And so just seeing how that'll play out, you know, seeing how, you know, me being okay with that, you know, I feel like that's the one thing I want, you know. I'm like, ugh, Olympian, like, this is the one thing I want to earn. And, you know, if I can't, like, you know, how do I respond to that, you know, as a believer and as, you know, a Christian? And I feel like my answer is getting more and more clear, because, you know, for the longest, it's just like, God bless it. Amen. And you want God to just carry it through. And, you know, just being at a place now where, you know, Paul talks about, you know, I'm content. And, you know, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. So I'm just trying to learn what do I gain from being content in the things of God. So yeah, that's my fun fun facts, I guess. Is that a good word? So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out and that kind of thing.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, we'll definitely be cheering for you and rooting for you. Again, just thank you for coming on the podcast and being a part of it. I would encourage people, if you're not already, to go on to Instagram and give Jessica a follow. It's at Reign2, that's REIGN, the number 2, and give her a follow and just, you know, see her journey and cheer her on from afar. But Jessica, thank you so much for just taking time just to talk about Christ and the Lord and track and field, and just your experiences that you've had through track and field and how that's helped grow your faith. And I just thank you again. I mean, this was just a joy for me to be able to do that. So I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed my time here, and I'm just, you know, hoping that more and more athletes will continue to share their faith. And you know, that I think it really matters to the youth and the younger, you know, generation. That, like I said, it was cool when I was growing up, and I wanted to still have that same sentiment, you know, unashamed of their relationship with Christ, and really holding on to that in the midst of everything that's going on in this country and in this world. So
thank you.